So the Sooies got off to a strong start yesterday. We were howling with laughter in here. The categories were loaded. 10 solid minutes of laughter. Chris, how do you feel about this category here, the best story category?
I feel really good about it, and I'm glad that we are, you know, as you've been talking a lot about constricted by the radio show, we can put stuff in the podcast that's longer, because story, there's a lot of good story, so instead of cutting some good stuff, we're able to leave it longer for the podcast audience.
Is there any story that you had to cut out that hurt you to cut it out, just because this is just the cream of the crop for the entirety of the year? Did you just stuff it all in there and throw it all at Mike Ryan and make him make difficult decisions there?
That's right. That's exactly what I do. I give Mike like 72 minutes of stories and he cuts it down to like 13.
Oddly enough, the 72 minutes are all Billy stories.
Billy, how did you feel about the debut of this year's Sooies yesterday? How did you feel like they went?
I couldn't sleep last night, Dan, waiting for more Sooies today.
You too.
Billy's just excited because the Marlins are the hottest team in baseball. So we're no, we'll get into that later. I know that's just
wait a minute. What do you mean the
we
hottest
got to team? That earlier?
What do you mean?
True.
It's the post game show, guys.
It's the post game show. There's no later.
You should honestly talk about how amazing today's categories was. Man, the back in my day and the best Michael Doliak song. Those were incredible categories.
Billy, yes. 8-0 they win last night. They win 8-0 over the Braves, and they've started this stretch. What this stretch? They've started it with 2 out of 3 victories.
Yeah, but if we go back a little bit again, we talked about this earlier, so no need to rehash this. But should have won that game against the Rays on what day was it? Sunday. The days off really throw everything off, right? Can we just say, like, look, that day was off, and that's fine. And yesterday was the first day of the week, so that's Monday. And this week is only going to go Monday through Thursday. You know what I mean?
I'm with that. Every first day of the week should be Monday, regardless of whether how many days of weekends you had.
Boom. So best story?
Best story. Let's do it.
And now, the Sooie nominees for best story. Kurt Menefee on Jay Glazer's best man speech and nickname for himself.
Jay was best man at our wedding. He literally, at the end, my wife's brother-in-law, her sister's husband, wanted to fight him because Jay did one of those best man speeches, but he decides to do this whole thing. My wife is Filipina, so he decides to do this whole sweatshop joke about Nike and all this kind of stuff, and let's just say it didn't go over well with the rest of the crowd.
that's not a wedding speech. What is he?
You got to know your audience.
What is he doing?
Read the room.
It's such bad judgment.
Everybody wants to know the glaze. Everybody wants to. I go, Jay, people didn't come to Italy to hear the glaze. They came here for our wedding. So my wife.
Hold on, Kurt. Are you telling us that Glazer refers to himself as the glaze?
Please. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And his birthday is the day after Christmas, right. So he calls it Glazemus. You know.
God, I love him.
Wow.
Chris Jericho tells us about his beef with a random celebrity.
I had a real rivalry with Mario Lopez. The guy from Access.
No, I'm not, be real, but
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. We, for whatever reason, for years, and it was probably mostly on my end, I would see this guy and we did like 8 shows together. And every time he would do something to rub me the wrong way, or I would say something to him that rubbed him the wrong way. And we were actually on Ellen together, where she had us do this game. It was kind of like Twister, ring Twister, where like, okay, my elbow and your shoulder, and you put a ring between. It was me and a housewife against Mario and a housewife, and I was like, I'm not going to lose this guy. And the housewife was like, okay, we're not going to lose. We played this stupid game for like 5 minutes to where we were completely contorted with like a nose holding a ring and the elbow holding the ring, and she had to call it a draw because we were so like not going to lose to each other. And then recently I saw him on Access Hollywood, whatever, and he was the nicest guy in the world, so apparently our rivalry's over. But for a while there, Lopez was my nemesis.
It was on.
It was on.
Fat Joe, crazy night out in New York with Big Pun. You'll never guess who saved the day.
One night, rest in peace, Big Pun, the late, great Big Pun, me and Big Pun decided to go to this infamous nightclub called The Tunnel. This is where the bouncers are 7 foot tall. They look like they're the actors of 300, the movie. Six packed up, you eat your face. Long story short, he started arguing with one of the security. Now, it's non-security. It's just me and Pun. I'm with Pun 100%, but I turn around and look at him, tell him in his ear, you know we're going to get beat the F up right here, right? Like, you know, it's, Pun looks at them. I don't care. We go to war. So I'm with him, and I'm like, you know, F them. Let's go to war. And then out of nowhere, this is like 2:30 in the morning, I hear a voice. Hey, Joe, hey, Pun, let's beat these guys up. I turn around, it's Iron Mike Tyson with the koofy on. And he had a dress suit, and he was taking off his Gucci loafers. He had some Gucci loafers.
Right, of course.
And the next thing I knew, the security who was threatening us, the main one, Mike Tyson was chasing him around the car barefoot. And the guy was started begging me and Pun, Joe, can you please get him away from us? Please stop.
Dean Blandino tells us how he met Jay Glazer.
You know how I met Jay was Jay came and did, I was working at the NFL, and he came and did a story. He was with CBS Sports at the time and was going to do a story on officiating. And he spent all this time with us interviewing us. And then he basically wrote a fake story and had Greg Aiello, who was in PR at the time, bring us the fake story. And it was completely just, these guys are crooked. They're betting on games. They're fantasy. They affect calls based on who they have on their fantasy team. And the group just turned on itself. It was Lord of the Flies. The people were, you know, and I knew, because I had met Jay before, you know, just had heard about him. And I said, he's pulling our leg here. But yeah, that was Glazer. That's how I first was exposed to him.
David Sampson tells us Barry Bonds' reaction to D. Gordon getting suspended for steroids.
D got suspended for steroids, 80 games, and D came in and addressed the team. We made him address the team. And the whole team is in a team meeting before a game against the Dodgers. So D announces it, and he's crying, and he's emotional. And Barry Bonds slams a chair and storms out of the room. And I was like, are you kidding me? You're storming out because you're upset that someone got suspended for steroids because they didn't mask it as well as you did? Right? I mean, are you kidding? Everyone in the clubhouse was like looking at him like, really? Oh my God, I never forgot that.
That is amazing.
Chris Jericho on Dennis Rodman falling asleep during a tag team match featuring Aaron Rodgers.
Dennis Rodman actually fell asleep on the apron side during that tag team match.
What?
Yeah, he showed up about 10 minutes beforehand. No one could find him. And he showed up, like, this is when Dennis was at his peak of just being completely off his rocker. And if you watch, you can actually see he puts his head on the turnbuckle. He's like 9 feet tall, right? So he's like, he falls asleep.
He's asleep.
Well, that, yeah.
See, that's why we need more Chris Jericho when I come on the show. You know, I need these inside stories.
You need like the real behind-the-scenes story. I just remember that they signed him for like three matches, something like $6 million or $8 million or something on those lines. And the one time he showed up and he fell asleep on the apron side.
Cody Zeller on the first time he ever spoke to Michael Jordan when Charlotte drafted him.
So I came off stage and they handed me the phone and they said it's Rod Higgins, Rich Cho, and Michael Jordan are all on the line. The first one, they said, it's Rich Cho. So, you know, I got on the phone with him. Hey, we're excited. We had a chance to draft you. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to pass the phone on. So he passed the phone on, and the next one, I could recognize his voice was Rod Higgins. And I had known him. I'd met with him a few times. So the same thing, he'd kind of go through, you know, we're excited for you to be in Charlotte. And I'm kind of like looking forward to seeing MJ. Like, I'm kind of tuned out a little bit. So at the end of the conversation, he says, all right, I'm going to pass the phone on to Rod. And I had just had a five-minute conversation with MJ, and I thought that it was Rod the whole time. So I was like, okay, Mr. Jordan.
You weren't even listening, really.
Yeah. So my first time ever talking to him, I didn't even know it was him, and I was kind of tuned out a little bit.
John Sally, Michael Jordan and Charles Oakley story.
I'm at the Kentucky Derby. And Dave Chappelle is there, and Chris Tucker are standing next to each other. And Michael Jordan's to my left, and we're in the booth. Dr. J's behind me. And he goes, Sal, right here, right now. Here's your man, Michael Jordan, right here, right in front of him. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. And he goes, no. He goes, no, answer. Now, off to the right is Charles Oakley, who, if you don't know, is Michael's security guard. forever and didn't like me. So I look at Michael and I said, wait, at 27 years old? I put my hand on Michael's shoulder and I go, at 27 years old, young boy would have given you the business. And out of the blue, Charles Oakley comes and punches me in the stomach.
But I mean,
the way he wanted to hit Dolan, not the way he was pushing security guard. He unleashed on me, Dan, and I saw it at the last second and tightened up a little bit. He knocked all the air out of me. And Dave Chappelle said, "This is the only time I wish I still had my show." So and Michael good. Was like, "No, come on, Charles. You know style is crazy. He just joking. He's just joking." He's like, "I don't like when he talks that stuff. He's been wanting to hit me. He's been wanting to hit me since the '80s."
Steve-O on Partying with Mike Tyson.
I sort of caught wind that everybody in this group was headed to a house party and sort of figured out where it was, and I showed up uninvited, and I went and rang the doorbell, and the person who opened up the door was actually Mike Tyson, and I said, "Is there any like, is it cool if I come in?" And he said, "You got any coke?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude, I have a bunch, like lots," and so he like. It was like he threw a punch past me is what it felt like, and then hooked it around the back of my head, like yanking me into the house. And we went straight into this little bathroom in the house, locked ourselves in there, and proceeded to go through so much cocaine. Oh, it was absurd. We went through all of it. It was probably 5 grams of cocaine, which is a lot. Yeah, it took us about 3 hours, I think.
What?
And, oh, God, it was so crazy. Mike was had this way of doing cocaine where he took a cigarette and rolled it back and forth in his fingers such that all of the tobacco fell out, leaving only this tube of paper in the filter. And then he just started scooping pure cocaine into it, not mixed with tobacco or anything, just into this tube of paper. And I'm thinking, like, there's no way that could possibly work, you know, like, logistically. You can't, but he made it work. He filled it with nothing but powder cocaine and smoked the whole thing. And here we're locked in this little bathroom, and it's like, you can almost hardly see through, like, this dense cocaine smoke in this bathroom. And I'm snorting lines. I just kept supplying him, and he smoked these crazy cocaine cigarettes one after another until it was all gone. It really was a night to remember.
David Sampson, bus story.
It was John Henry's motor coach. He bought and from scratch a $2 million motor coach that's like a tour bus that had couches and TVs and direct TV. And a condition of the sale is he wanted to keep the bus. He wanted to have the bus for him in Boston. And right before the deal was closing, it's my famous and favorite bus story, is I called John Henry and I said, "By the way, we're taking the bus." And he lost his mind. He hung up on me. I just wanted to give it. I was so annoyed with the way that Lucinda and David Ginsburg were acting that I said, "You know what? I don't care. I'll walk away from this deal over this bus." John Henry, at a black tie event, he was at a wedding. He walks out of the wedding, he calls me, and he starts swearing at me, right? Saying, "Damn it, I'm telling you right now, this is my effing bus. I'm not even talking to you about this bus. The fact that you made me step out of this party about this bus, this is an outrage." I said, "John, let me be very clear. Enjoy your wedding. There is no deal without the bus." Click. Next phone call I get is from Major League Baseball. "Bob Dupay, you're going to blow up the biggest franchise swap historic. You're a part of history, David, and you're telling me over a $2 million bus you are going to blow this transaction up?" I said, "Bob, I will die on the bus." 2 days later, John Henry gave up the bus, and he really didn't talk to me much after that. And we still have the bus.
Great story.
So,
what do you mean you still have the bus? The team still has a bus? Or nope. when Jeter closes, you ride that sucker out? Oh, my God, you did.
It's even better than that. We're selling to Jeter. Jeter is not paying attention to anything other than the fact that A-Rod is not getting the team. So there's an asset in the deal. It's an asset deal, which means you're buying assets. He was buying the assets from us, from Jeffrey. And one of the assets was the bus. I am sitting in PJ Loyola's office with Jeff Conine. I said, Conine, this team is being sold, but I have a crazy idea. Let's call Jeffrey and let's buy the bus. The two of us. So we call Jeffrey and say, hey, Jeffrey, we want to buy the bus from you. Jeffrey Loria sold the bus to me and Conine for 10 grand. 10 grand.
Amazing.
So we, Conine and I, started a company to buy the bus. It's called WGTFB LLC. We got the effing bus LLC.
Dan, Larry Izzo and Zach Thomas elbow room story.
It's an awful story and a great story that started at the elbow room. Too much day drinking, too many Miami Dolphins. Boom, Larry Izzo and Zach Thomas decide I can swim out to that buoy. That buoy's far away. They're professional athletes. They're bulletproof. Boom, Izzo goes. So goes Zach Thomas. Izzo bows out. Zach Thomas finally gets to the buoy and realizes this buoy is not staying up. It is slippery. I'm exhausted. Oh my God, it is far to get back. And boom, like into the water go like soldiers to rescue him because you would have had somebody drown at that buoy because of the things that happened at the elbow room in the middle of the day. That was like a Tuesday.
Alejandro Narciso, Antonio Brown's videographer, tells us the truth about what went down between the Raiders and Antonio Brown.
He had a dinner with Gruden, and then he got it back into the car. We picked him up, and he was like, yeah, everything's good. And I was like, okay. So I started working on the video, and I worked on the video the entire night. He woke up at like 5 a.m. I'm like, hey, yo, this is what I made. And I showed him, and he's like, wow, that's beautiful. That's motivational. I love it. And I'm like, all right, let's post it. And he's like, no, let's wait. I said, damn, okay. And so he goes to practice. Everything seems to be good. And then we pick him up, and he's like, everything's not good. These guys don't seem to have my back. They, you know, they kept saying, welcome back, even though I never left. He went into practice the day after posting the fine letter. The following day, you know, he has, like, that meeting with the team, and, like, everyone's like, oh, welcome back. We're glad to have AB back. And he's like, what are you talking about? I never left. You guys told me not to go to practice. Like, what are you guys talking about? And then he also gets a fine letter where it's, like, it voids his contract. And at that point, it was pretty much over because he felt so disrespected that he was, like, now he had to play essentially week to week for his contract. And then at that point, you know, there was no, like, it was irreparable, you know? So he asked me, yo, the video that you made is amazing, but it's too positive right now. So the initial video that I made, I had to change it up. I was like, okay, so he called the owner. It was a nice conversation. He said, look, man, like, I just don't think this is going to work out for either of us. I don't feel the love from you guys the way that you think you say you do. And I would appreciate it if you released me. And the owner was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm sorry this didn't work out. And then at that point, AB was like, all right, it's go time. And I was like, damn. So he posted it. And the second he posted it, I'm getting hit up by Bleacher Report and all these people like, hey, can we post this vid? Can we post this vid? Oh, my God. Two-party consent. You're going to go to jail. And I freaked out. I was like, what did I just do? And I go in. AB's fine. AB's like hanging out with his kids. You know, everything's good. But for me, this is all new to me. Like, I'm used to everyone just commenting fire emojis. And not like, you're a clown too, you're a moron. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like, I'm not. And then I sit down by the pool, and I was like, just contemplating everything. I was like, damn, I feel like Thanos right now. What did I, like, what just happened? And then it only got crazier from then, because then yesterday I land in Vegas because I had to go shoot something in Vegas. And I start getting hit up like, oh, apparently AV hired social media experts to smooth sail this release. I was like, social media experts? I'm literally like a 25-year-old nothing. It's like, he planned this whole thing. I was like, no, AD, like, post what he wants. I'm not his consultant, you know?
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.